Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings. So we're on this two-part series about our call to ministry. Just telling the story of how we found out that the Lord wanted us to reach out to people in a more conventional ministry way of walking with, speaking to, and sometimes leading. So last week, if you caught that, it was my version of how I found out that God wanted me in ministry. And today, we're going to talk about my wonderful husband and how he found out that God wanted him to walk with people.
Yeah, so where do we start? You know, I was in high school at this point, and really a friend of mine tricked me into going to church. I did not think church was for me. Not because I didn't believe there was a God. I just thought like, nah, if there's a God, I want to see what is in the Bible in real life. I didn't want this life where you read one thing, when you look up, it's another, you know. So I thought those thoughts were just, you know, me being a critical thinker and, you know, wanting things to make sense. So I got saved, and I must say, surely the people around me could see I was called. I had a love for scripture. But I thought, no, man, this is the wrong guy. You know, why? I'm that naughty guy at school. You know, I'm in love girls. I'm just living a wild life, you know. So the idea that I'm called to be in ministry was just so foreign. It didn't fit.
Wait, so because I grew up with Danny, I need to tell you my version of the wild man. So my brother, hi, loved Danny because there would be all these stories about what was happening with Danny, whether he had booked a movie role or he had booked a modeling role. That was a thing. And so he would say, oh my goodness, I heard Danny was in the club, and he took his shirt off and all these girls surrounded him and they're going, woo, woo, woo. And so at that time, because I was the jock and I was so book focused, I was so annoyed by this Danny guy. And I would roll my eyes thinking, oh, that's what ridiculousness.
I swear to God, under the table right now.
So it was a thing, Danny being the party starter.
Yes, Danny was the party starter. And Danny didn't drink because drinking slowed him down. You know, he wanted to party the whole way. And I could not see the two merging. Like, how do I go from this one guy to the other, you know? And I'll never forget my first year out of school. I was studying law, which is really what I thought, you know, I could use my mouth for, my loudness. I saw myself defending people, and I believed in the law. You know, for me, the law was righteous. And my first year in university, and we're reading stuff, and I'm realizing, wait a minute, this isn't about being right. There's a lot of loopholes here. The law is just about who's in power and what they've decided. And, you know, I there's a lot I can say about that, but it became clear to me that the law or righteousness that I was looking for could not be found in the constitution of the country, you know? And I remember being a bit sad, and then the Lord telling me, look, why don't I take you somewhere, you know, and show you what I'm about? And I still thought, no, man, I want to study, finish this. And God told me, no, you're going overseas. And when you were talking yesterday, I actually thought, why is it that God takes us overseas? Mm-hmm. You know, there's something about traveling and not
or
being,
leaving your context.
Yes, yeah. Not being in your environment, your way. If there's a problem, you can call mom, or you know, knock on dad's door for something quickly.
Or people don't see you as the party guy where you've gone.
Yes.
So there's an opportunity for like a reset maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I left, I went to the States. I remember God just giving me clear instructions. Like, you're not going to use your money here. Like, whatever you make, don't touch it. I'll provide for you, you know. And it felt weird. I thought I was hearing things, you know. And I kept telling God, like, I love your word. I love it so much, and I know that I love it. But maybe I love it so much that I'm convincing myself that you're calling me, you know. And I'll never forget the incidences that started happening at work. Yeah. Like, for example, there was one day where, so I was working with the mentally ill community, you know, and it was really difficult, you know, where, you know, someone could be acting out, maybe they've got schizophrenia, and the older counselors would even struggle with the situation. And then God would give me an easy instruction, like, just go hold his hand. And when I go and I hold the person's hand, the whole episode will stop. You know, so I remember just thinking, like, what's happening, you know? While I was there, I remember one day just playing Hillsongs United, and suddenly believers were coming out, like, hey, you know, I'm also a believer, but, you know, the camp environment is, you're away from your country. There's like 14 different nations. You guys are young, you know. You want to get up to no good, you know. So no one was really allowing their faith to be known. Mm-hmm. And I had that boldness about it. And it turned into a bit of a movement where we started praying together. And, you know, so as those things are happening, the Lord is telling me, you see, I'm using you here. I remember the camp owner coming to me and telling me, look, I've ran this place for like 25 years. We've not had people openly praying and gathering like this, you know? So it became a bit confusing for me because on the one hand, I love the Lord and all these things are happening. On the other hand, my partying in America was sponsored, you know? Because when I showed up, the party started, you know?
Wait, before you continue, there's a New Year's Eve party. I think I was like 14, and I was forced to go to this party. So I was sitting on a chair, like by a tree, just thinking, when is this thing going to end? And then this group of people walk in around 11 p.m., led by this one Vambili guy. And they just start like, woo, woo, woo. And they walk in, and suddenly the party is like on fire and everyone is jumping up and down. So I go and creep in to look, and they're losing it. They're just jumping. And I think he had a white bandana.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, there he is again.
That was a thing, you know? That was a thing. So I remember just being in the States and I'm asking myself, like, what now? Mm. You know, there's this, it almost felt like two lives ahead of me.
Yeah.
You know, do I go with this? The spiritual life where at some point it felt like I thought it would be boring, you know? Yet at the same time, I kept seeing God doing things that for me were extraordinary.
Yeah. Like what?
Okay, like for example, while I was there, the fact that I didn't have to touch my salary, like seeing that kind of provision, we would get tips that were like $1,000, you know, and I would hear the other guy saying, but this is a lot. I've been here. I've not seen this happen, but I knew what the Lord had told me. Yeah. And to experience God coming through was really amazing. And when we were wrapping up, the Lord spoke to me about using me in media. You know, I thought, okay, what does this even mean? The next day, I was approached by a director. I remember we're sitting at the pub. They just came up to me and said, hey, look, we want to use you for a movie, you know? And at that time, I'm thinking, guys, I don't do pornography, okay?
Why did you go there?
I just thought this is dodgy. We're sitting out here in the pub in Hunter, New York. So we're just showing up like this. But I kept seeing the words God would speak come to pass.
Yeah.
And come to pass in ways that I couldn't put together.
Yeah.
And then the Lord had told me we're going to go on a trip with my friends, which was also weird because we didn't plan a trip.
Mm.
Then the one day, the one guy called Danny came and said, "Hey guys, why don't we do a road trip?" And I knew, okay, this is what God was saying. But what was amazing for me, Letitia, was in that road trip, we went from pastor's house to pastor's house, unplanned. It just happened that everywhere we stopped, there'd be a pastor there. And they would have answers for me to questions like, okay, I'd ask them, like, why shouldn't one drink? You know, and the answers were real. It was so life-changing for me. And I felt like, okay, God is actually serious about this. Until we reached the church where the pastor had lost his mind, you know. And I remember thinking, Lord, your church is a mess. How can the man of God have depression and lose his mind, you know? And I remember saying it almost mockingly. You know, when you're like, God, I thought you're the God of order. And that was my words. I thought you're the God of order, but your church is a mess. Oh, man. And suddenly, we're in this little car on the highway, and I feel God's presence come on the car. Guys, I thought this is the end. He's just going to do that. Smack the car down, flat, you know. It almost felt like an episode of Final Destination, you know, how weird things would happen in that movie. And I just heard the Lord tell me in that moment, if you let me use you, it could be different, you know. And I thought, no, that's not the point. The point was just making a remark, okay,
that
your church is a mess. This was not an application to get involved in any way or form. But the Lord told me, look, I want to use you. And I said, okay, fine. But to make sure it's not me wanting this, what we're going to do is let me preach in a church here in America where nobody knows me. Not even the people I'm around actually know how there's this calling on my life, you know, but use me in a way that I will not doubt.
Mm.
But I went to a church, not a church, a house, where it just so happened that the family, the wife was the youth pastor.
Mm.
And when she and I were talking that night, and I didn't know she was the youth pastor, she ended up saying, hey, guess what? You preaching tomorrow at church. And I thought, no, man. So I told God, you cheated, you know. You probably knew this person is going to be a youth pastor and prompted me to want that. So I said, okay, cool. I will preach, but I'm not going to prepare. You know, and when I think of it now, I'm like, dude, what were you even thinking to say your first sermon, you know, at a church in a different country, you will not prepare, you know. But that's what I said to God. I said, look, I'm not going to prepare. If it's you, I want to see something that I've never seen before. You just move. Let the blind see. Let people walk, you know. And like I had a picture and went in that service that day, didn't prepare. And what I thought would happen didn't happen. But I was also told that that church, it was a Korean church, like they're not very open to strangers. But to my surprise, after the service, the children wanted to spend time with me. But what was also weird was they took me, but kept the people I came with at the church, you know? So I didn't know what was actually happening. But it turned out that the Lord had used me to give words of knowledge. I would stand next to a person and speak about what they were doing. But it was so accurate that the church thought that the pastor had used High Five, which was like the Facebook of that time, and showed me people's pictures and what they were doing. So they wanted to interrogate her. You know, and that for me was like, oh, wow.
Mm.
God, I don't know any of these people. I don't know their stories.
Yeah.
So this is definitely you, you know. And there was the first time where I believed that I was called and I was ready to embark on the journey. My journey wasn't easy, you know, because again, I came from a family where there was an expectation, you know. The expectation was this boy is going to be a lawyer now, you know. I'm in school. Now, to come back and say I'm dropping out, man, people thought I was bewitched. I remember aunties calling, like, no, you guys need to take him for deliverance. And I'm asking myself, but I'm saying I'm called to ministry, but you guys are saying deliverance, you know. Yet, I later found out, maybe 3 or 4 years of struggling and really fighting, that before I was born, there was actually a word given that I'm called to ministry. And I would be born on a Sunday, which is so weird because I'm one of those babies who was born 10 months later, not after 9 months. But there was a word given, the exact date on which I'd be born, which sounded like it wouldn't make sense because that's like 10 months after.
That's overdue.
That's overdue, you know? So when I found that out, I was almost a bit upset. Like, why didn't anyone tell me this, you know? That as a child, they had to put a Bible in my baby cot and pray over me because, you know, they were told that the enemy will try, you know? And there were incidences that I went through when my life was really at risk, you know? So, yeah, that's how it was. So it almost felt like there was a word in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
This boy strayed all the way left.
Left.
And then wanted to come back right. And everyone was saying, no, 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 be conventional. Be the lawyer. But the Lord had told me, he had called me to media.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that my wife can testify to. Wherever we go, there's always like a media thing that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, would be in the car, my phone would ring. Hey, can you do this interview? Or, you know, so it's just felt. And even my first job in ministry was on Impact Radio, where I was driving and God told me, I want you on the station you're listening to. And I remember just thinking, oh, there are people on radio. You know, because I would listen to stations that are more about music, you know. But yeah, here we are.
What would you say to the person whose life is so different from what they believe the called life should be? I mean, you're talking about being the life of the party. You're talking about not really feeling, you know, you weren't really into the relationship with God. It was so night and day. How did you deal with the fact that I'm actually called? It doesn't matter what I come from or what I did or who I was, because sometimes you're hearing the call, but just like, you know, Moses with the stuttering, you're like, no, but I stutter, not me. And we've got different versions of I stutter. So what was your version of I stutter, and what would you say to anyone stuttering, saying, not me?
Look, I would say our biggest struggle is what will God do with all my mistakes? Because we look at all the things we've done wrong and we ask ourselves, you know, am I disqualified because I've done that? You know, and I would just want to say to people, God has a plan, and his plan is not just for the good things about you. His plans are also for all the areas where you messed up, you know. And I remember even when I got saved, just struggling with pornography and asking God, like, why could you deliver me from other things, but this one you haven't, you know? And him not answering then. But later when I was on radio and we had to deal with guys who would relapse and, you know, they're really struggling, but, you know, this addiction is real.
Yeah.
And God telling me, look, I needed you to go through the long road of healing so that you have patience for people that have to walk that journey.
Yeah.
You know, so I began to understand that sometimes God needs the bad boy. Sometimes God needs the bad girl. Sometimes God needs the person who had the child out of wedlock or the person who's divorced to cater for the people who will have to walk the same journey. Because book knowledge is good, but at times, you know, you want someone who can relate with the experience.
Yes.
I'm not saying go mess up your life to get a testimony. Look, if you have a child out of wedlock, the child will not disappear when you get married, you know. So your mistakes, or, you know, if you cut your hand off, the hand won't suddenly grow when you get saved, you know. So I'm not saying that the children out of marriage are mistakes. I'm just saying that the responsibilities and things that you do before getting saved or when you are saved will always be there. So don't pick up scars.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is the scars you have, God can use.
Absolutely. And they all have purpose. So today and last week, we spoke about our personal journeys and how we were called to ministry. But next week is pretty exciting because we're talking about how being called isn't a pulpit. So you would have heard a lot this week and last week us saying conventional ministry, walking with people, words of wisdom, platforms. But the call is on everyone. It just looks different on everyone. So we want to talk about how you are called in your space, at your work, in your home, just so that you know that it isn't a special club where people are picked to walk with others, but it's really a call that's in God's word for us all.
Yes. So as broken as you are, let God use your brokenness to heal people. Join us next week as we go into this topic of being called to ministry.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambillies.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambillies, you can just type in at the Vambillies and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambilly, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambilly. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.